We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All systems are go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van
Vliet! Hello, friends. Welcome back to another audio adventure on Insight. I'm CVV, Chris Van Vliet. So good to have you with us on episode 466 is Ask CVV number 5. I say it all the time, but if you're with us on an Ask CVV episode, man, that means you're a real one. So I appreciate you being here. Pretty good chance that you're subscribed or you're following the show wherever you're listening to this. But if by chance you're not, please take a second right now. It really does mean a lot if you were to follow the show or subscribe to the show. So take a second to check to see if you're subscribed or if you're following. And if not, take another second to actually click that button so you don't miss out on any interviews that we have coming up. And you might have noticed we've had a lot of big interviews so far this year. I mean, most recently, Stone Cold Steve Austin. We've also had L.A. Knight. Yeah, we've had The Undertaker. Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston's an interview I recently did. And it's funny, people are always so surprised when I have these big celebrity interviews. But yeah, that's what I've been doing for pretty much my whole career. I've been so fortunate to be able to travel the world and talk to some of the biggest stars on the planet. A lot of actors, directors, comedians, athletes, and of course, some of our favorite pro wrestlers. I've got an interview next week with Robert De Niro. Yeah, it's been a heck of a year so far, and I'm so glad that you're along with us on this journey. If you're enjoying this episode, please snap a screenshot and tag me on social media so I can share it out. I'm just at Chris Van Vliet. Got a lot of questions here using that hashtag AskCVV, so I'm going to get to all of them here. I'm going to get to all of them. So thank you to everyone who submitted a question. A lot of similar questions here, especially with, you know, some of the recent news that's been going on in the world of pro wrestling. So let's dive right into this and kick it off with a hot topic here. This is from Jay Kravhalo. I hope I'm saying that right. At Viper Assassin YT on YouTube. Hey, Chris, it's Jay again. My question for you is, what was your initial reaction to the unveiling of the brand new WWE World Heavyweight Championship? I gotta be honest. I think it looks amazing. It's a perfect mix for me of that old school design, a throwback to the classic big gold with a new spin on it. So I love it. And I think that, I hate to say it, but I think the WWE has dropped the ball with a lot of their belts. I mean, I think that 4 years ago, almost to the day, actually, 4 years ago, everyone kind of laughed and giggled when Mick Foley unveiled the 24/7 championship. And obviously they have done away with that now. But I saw this belt and I went, yes. And that's actually a championship that I would want to purchase. And it's been a long time since I've wanted to add another belt to my collection. I know we're not supposed to call them belts, right, Vince McMahon? But I'll call it a belt. A belt, title, championship, all the same thing, right? You know what I'm talking about. But I understand. I understand where he's coming from. I understand when Vince says it's not a belt because a belt is what's used to hold your pants up. It's a title. It is a championship. It is prestigious. But I love the look of this. My only problem here, it's not to do with the design of the belt at all, but here's what my problem is. Whenever the big gold or the WWE World Heavyweight Championship comes back into the picture, for me, It's never the world title being the number one, being the top prize. The WWE Championship, or the two titles that Roman has right now, that will always be looked at by fans as like the main prize. And then unfortunately, I think that the World Heavyweight Championship ends up being this secondary belt, the secondary championship. And I just think that it's unfortunate. Like, there's a lot of superstars, and I'm sure that some names pop into your head right now that have won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, but haven't ever become the WWE champion. So it's like, okay, they were so close, but they got the world title, but they didn't get the WWE championship. So my issue here is whoever holds the two belts, and I'm hoping at some point soon that those two belts hopefully soon become just one belt. But whoever has those championships, right now it's Roman Reigns, and it has been Roman Reigns for like almost 3 years now. Whoever holds those belts or that championship or championships, but whoever has that title is like the main person. And then it's so unfortunate to me that the world heavyweight champion becomes like one tier down from that. So that's my only issue with this whole thing. And I know that WWE wants us to believe that they're both in the same tier, but they're not. And fans will never look at it that way. Fans will always be like, oh yeah, that's cool that he won the world title, but that's only the world heavyweight championship. And it's also kind of unfortunate because that championship comes from this, you know, incredible history. Think of all the names that have won that championship. And it just kind of sucks that in 2023, that title gets introduced and it's not the title. So that's my issue with it. I think that it's the design, beautiful. The meaning behind it, though, I just feel like it's a little bit lacking. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But it just seems to me that whoever's fighting for the main titles are the main focus. You feel me where I'm coming from here? But the championship itself, I think they nailed it. I think they did such a good job here. Charlie Thrower, at Charlie Photo Guy on Twitter, says, who would win in a shoot? James Bond or Jason Bourne? Not the actors, just the characters. Come on, I think we got a lot of questions we got to ask here, like which version of Bond? Because I feel like the Daniel Craig version of Bond would annihilate all of the other versions of Bond. But I think if it were really come down to it, if we've got Jason Bourne, who's Matt Damon, I guess in most of the movies, except for that one, you know what I'm talking about, where it was Jeremy Renner. If it's a fight here, a one-on-one fight, it goes to Jason Bourne easily. Like James Bond he's innovative. He's obviously, you know, great at convincing people, incredible conversationalist, but Jason Bourne is like a government killing machine. Like I don't think that anyone could top that. So I'm going with Jason Bourne here. I love those movies. I think that Matt Damon, man, absolutely nailed that role. And he's one of those actors that played that role so well that you can't even like picture it being played in that version. Without giving too much away here, you can't imagine it being played in that version by anybody else. I mean, this really isn't a spoiler alert, but I guess we find out that there's more than one Jason Bourne, right? That Jason Bourne's just like an identity given to these types of people. Okay, that's all I'm saying. So I'm going with Jason Bourne here. But a fantastic question. And please give me more of these for the next Ask CVV episode. Like, who wins in a boxing match? This character or this character? Who wins in a fight? This character, this character? That'd be so much fun because we'll never know the answer. And we can just talk about it till we're blue in the face and we'll never actually find out who's correct here or not. Daniel Donovan at Lone Wolf DD01, since Cody will probably win the world championship, who do you think will be the guy to dethrone Roman? Well, I actually disagree here. I still think that Cody is going to finish the story with Roman Reigns. I think that it's Roman gets dethroned by Cody. I don't know when that happens, but it sure seems to me like WWE is lining up that somebody else will be winning the world championship. And I think that if this were to take you know, a left turn and veer off into a different direction. And Cody won the world championship. I think it just kind of, you know, springboarding off of what I was saying earlier, I really think that this would take away from that whole chase that Cody has been on. So I still think that it's Cody who dethrones Roman Reigns. Maybe that's a SummerSlam thing. Maybe, I don't know. This is crazy. Maybe it's not till WrestleMania 40 next year in Philly. But I think that the next person to hold the WWE Championship, the two titles that Roman has, that will be Cody Rhodes. So just saying here. Susie says, what's your favorite place that you've ever visited? Whew. Susie, hitting me with the tough questions here. I've been so fortunate to be able to travel to a lot of different places. So I'll give you two. But there's a lot. And there's a lot of places that I haven't been to yet. And there's a lot of like honorable mentions here. So if I don't list where you live, or if I don't list your favorite destination, it doesn't mean that I don't love it. Like, I love Australia. Love it. But I need to go back there. I haven't been to Australia in like over 10 years. So that would definitely be a place I need to revisit. But I think number one for me is Hawaii. There is something so magical about Hawaii. Like, from the second you get off the plane, and by the way, like the closest American city to Hawaii, the closest mainland American city to Hawaii is Los Angeles, or like, you know, it's a relatively, in quotes, quick flight, because it's like 5.5 hours. So it's 5.5 hours into the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And then you get off the plane and there's just something about being there. The energy there, like the people are so kind. They talk about the aloha spirit. The people are so kind there. And it's just a beautiful place with beautiful scenery and, you know, so lush. So Hawaii is great. I've had so many beautiful memories there. I was most recently there last year with, she was just my girlfriend at the time before we were even engaged, and now we're married. But I went with Rachel and we just had an amazing time. The time I was there before that was, I was interviewing The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black for a little movie called Jumanji. So that was another great memory there. But there's just something about Hawaii. And all the islands have a bit of a different feel there. I love Maui. I love Kauai. I've obviously spent a lot of time in Oahu because that's where Honolulu is. I love Hawaii. So Hawaii, number one. And then Paris is such a special place. And there's something about the Seine, which is the river there, and seeing the Eiffel Tower light up, and the food and the people and the wine and the atmosphere. I need to go back to Paris. And that is high on my list of places I want to go back to. But then there's like the dream list of like, where have you not been that you want to go to? Iceland is really high on that list. I've never been to Japan. And before the world shut down, Will Ospreay invited me to go to Wrestle Kingdom with him. Now, obviously, Wrestle Kingdom didn't happen that year because the world shut down, but I was so ready to take him up on that invitation because I've never been to Japan and I would love to do that. So there's a few destinations. I of course, love London. And before the world shut down, I was in London 3, 4, 5 times a year doing different interviews and different movies. Yeah, like I kind of mentioned this, but yeah, part of my real job as an entertainment reporter is not just interviewing celebrities, but going to see movies early. I'm a movie critic. I vote on the Critics' Choice Awards. I'm part of the Critics' Choice Association. So as I'm recording this right now, as soon as this is done, I'm going to drive into Burbank. That's just outside of Los Angeles. And I'm going to a screening of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So I get to see the movie like 2 weeks before it comes out. And I'm super stoked about that. So when I'm allowed to talk about it, I can let you know what I think about it. I think right now there's an embargo that you can't, you know, give your thoughts or your reaction or your review on it. But all of that is to say that I would love to go back to London to do some more interviews there. Joshua, who is at MD Real Results on Twitter, says, favorite thing about indie promotions that you don't get at big WWE and AEW shows? I would say the biggest thing is the interaction that you get with the wrestlers. Like, they are right there. A, you know, bad seat, putting that in quotations, at an indie show is like the fourth row. So you're right there. You can, you know, hear everything that's going on in the ring. You can smell the sweat. I know that's probably not an attractive thing, but you feel like you're part of the show. And then during intermission and then before the show and after the show, you've got a chance to interact with all of the superstars on the card, all of the wrestlers that are working that show. And I think that that's what's really cool about it. They're accessible. And that's not to say that they're not accessible at a WWE show or an AEW show, but you've got to be sitting like first or second row for them to even have a chance to, like, you know, give you a high five as they walk by and to do like an autograph signing or a meet and greet. That's a completely different, separate event. So I think that what you don't get at those bigger shows that you do get at indie shows is just a real, like, community feeling there. You feel like you and however many other people are in the crowd, whether that's a few hundred or 1,000 people, you feel like you're part of something special that's happening that night. I would equate it to like going to see, you know, your favorite band at like an intimate venue, or going to see your favorite comedian at the local comedy shop, comedy store, improv, whatever it happens to be. And you're seeing them with, you know, 100, 200, 300 other people, rather than going to see them at an arena with 5,000 or 10,000 or, you know, sometimes even 20,000 people. So I just think there's something special about that atmosphere. Tom Talks Rubbish, thank you for this question. He says, does the wrestling you watch change depending on who you're interviewing? I would say the wrestling that I watch on a regular basis doesn't really change. But if I'm interviewing someone, like, give you an example, I recently did an interview with Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, whatever you want to call him. So I was like, man, some of his best stuff was in WWE, obviously, was in ECW. He's now doing stuff with Impact and NWA. So I'm watching Impact and NWA now, but I was like, man, I want to go back and watch some of like his best of it moments, like his greatest hits. So it's more of like a diving back into the archives and seeing like, man, what are the moments that everybody talks about with that person? And you might have noticed with the videos that I've been putting out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, I'm trying to like dig into like, what are the moments that everybody talks about with that person? Like Dolph Ziggler is a great example. So fortunate to be able to sit down with him for the 16th time for the interview that we did recently. And one of my favorite moments with Dolph is his Money in the Bank cash-in on Alberto Del Rio. And I went back and I rewatched the moment. I felt all of the things that I felt when I watched that for the first time. So that was a really cool thing. So I would say that the day-to-day, week-to-week stuff that I watch doesn't really change that much. But I love to go back and brush up on like the best moments, and I don't want to miss anything there. So there we go. I'm going to take a little sip of water here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This one's from Instagram, from NAWXF. What's the toughest interview that you ever had to do? Whew, man. The one that pops into my mind here is I was covering the red carpet for a movie called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which is probably not a movie that, you know, you really know of. It's a deep cut. But the reason that this movie is so important is because it was the last movie that Heath Ledger filmed before he passed away. So I was covering the red carpet for this. And, you know, obviously, one of the biggest things that you want to talk to the cast about was like, what was it like when you found out that Heath had passed away? What were your memories like working with him? So that was really difficult, phrasing those questions. And look, a red carpet's a bit like a party. Like, it's a premiere. It's a celebration of like, all of our hard work is going to be shown to everybody for the first time here. This is exciting. And for this thing to be looming over it of the death of the star of this movie. In fact, he passed away during the filming of this movie and they got other actors to play his role in the film. They did a really good job with that. But like, this is a big party juxtaposed with like, while we're celebrating the performances in this movie and we're paying tribute to Heath Ledger, you know, we're also remembering that he's not with us anymore. So I remember talking to Vern Troyer, may Vern Troyer rest in peace. And he's in that movie. And I was like asking him about his like favorite memories of Heath Ledger and where he was when he found out that Heath had passed away. So yeah, that was a difficult one. And that's a while ago. I'm actually pulling this up here. That movie came out in 2009. We've got all the world's information right in front of us here. But Heath Ledger was the star of that movie. When he passed away, his role was played by Johnny Depp and Colin Farrell and Jude Law. So, you know, three incredibly talented actors filling the shoes of the incredibly talented Heath Ledger, who was taken from us far, far too soon. So that was a tough one, but a great film and just a really, really interesting situation. And I feel like I learned a lot from that experience there. So yeah, that's a really good question. Thank you for that. And we're getting personal with this next question here. This is from MAR_COS. So Mar Cause, how did you know that she was the one and that you were ready to propose? Woo. Rachel is so special. My wife, Rachel, is so special. And she's just the greatest person that I've ever met. And I know it's going to sound cliche. And I know that before I met Rachel and people would say this, I was like, yeah, that sounds real nice. And you roll your eyes. But honestly, when you know, you know. And I know that's super cliche, but seriously, when you know, you know. And when I met Rachel and we met on our first date, and if you go back and listen to the podcast that we did, the last episode of last year, we talked about this. We met at a rooftop in Huntington Beach. It was supposed to be for like a drink and just like a first date and like meet each other. And it ended up turning into like us spending like 5 hours together, and the conversation just flowed. And like, I just felt like this is someone that I had known my whole life. And yeah, just everything about it just felt so right. And I've never questioned anything about it since the second I met her. So there's another sip of water there. Actually, I don't even know if I've talked about this, but even before the moment I met her, I was like trying to look for a parking spot in this huge garage. And I was getting a little bit lost. I'd never been to this place before. And I felt terrible because I was running a little bit late. And I pride myself on always being on time and always being like super respectful of people's time. And I was running a little bit late and I was like, hey, I'm just finding the parking. I'm heading over there. I'll be there soon. And I was walking out of the parking garage and I saw her from a distance. I was like on level 2 and she was on the ground floor and I saw her from a distance and I just went, wow, she's amazing. So she took my breath away before I even met her. And then I did meet her and she's the best. And as I stand here right now and record this, because I'm standing right now in my closet because the acoustics are really good in here. As I stand here right now, we're about a month away from, you know, our daughter being born. I'm just so excited to see Rachel as a mom. I feel like she was put on this earth to be a mom, and I'm so excited about that. So that is my long way of saying I am a lucky, lucky man to have such an incredible wife, an incredible partner, and incredible mother to our daughter. So yeah, super exciting. And there we go. Thank you for the personal question there. This is from my buddy, Rich Graham, who is at rngraham82 on Instagram. What's a regional thing that you've tried everywhere that you've lived, and it's just not for you? Man, Rich, as you know, I've lived in a lot of different places. So I'm from Pickering, Ontario, Canada. Went to university with you, Rich, in Waterloo, Ontario. So, you know, an hour and a half-ish west of Pickering. And then after that, lived in Toronto, Vancouver, Cleveland, Miami, bought a house in Fort Lauderdale, lived in Cincinnati, Los Angeles, and now we live in Orange County. So I've lived in a lot of different places. And I will tell you the regional thing that I tried that was like, I don't know, what are you guys talking about here? And I know I'm going to get a lot of angry people because of this. But Skyline Chili in Cincinnati, it's just not for me. It is just not for me. It's not even chili. It's like spaghetti sauce. And they serve it with a ton of spaghetti. Then they put on this soupy sauce. It's not chili. And then they give you about, I don't know, 73 pounds of cheese on top of that. So it's a lot. And I was just like, I was expecting chili. Like I was expecting like the chili you get in a bowl and you eat on a cold day. And that was not what this was. So the Skyline Chili, and look, this is the thing is, people in that area love it, swear by it, eat it all the time. I tried it twice and I was just like, this is not for me. I'm so sorry. I was expecting something different. And even though I was expecting something different, this did not deliver. So I apologize for not enjoying it, but Skyline Chili, it's not for me. And I'm going to get a lot of hate from this. But I'm just saying, that's it. Skyline Chili, not for me. Sean Griffin, 9191, says, will you ever move to New York City? That's such an interesting question because I just talked about all the places that I've lived. And I feel like for me, I went from Cleveland to Miami, Cleveland to South Florida. And I was like, and I moved in December. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have to see winter ever again. I'm never going to have to shovel snow ever again. I'm never going to have to deal with icy roads ever again. Spent 5 years in South Florida, loved the weather, love palm trees. There's something about being around palm trees. It's just, it's a nice reminder that the weather's nice. You know, where I live right now, it's like quote unquote cold when it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which is like, I don't know, I do the math real quick, like 10 Celsius. I don't even know if that's correct. Should probably look that up because we've got all the world's information in front of us. Let's see. 50 degrees Fahrenheit to Celsius. It is 10. Oh my God, it's exactly 10. Wow. What a guess. Wow, that's better than a guess. That is just knowledge right there. So all of that is to say that I don't really want to live somewhere this cold again. And I know that after I left Florida, I lived in Cincinnati for 9 months. Well, technically lived in Northern Kentucky. It didn't snow at all that winter. So the entire winter, there was like a few flurries, but it didn't snow that entire winter. And then I moved to Los Angeles and Southern California. And I'm like, man, I just don't know if I could ever escape. Like, I don't know if I'd ever want to escape the beautiful warm weather. But why this is interesting is because Rachel is from New Jersey. She's from like Sussex County, New Jersey, for anybody who's familiar with the area. And that's relatively speaking close-ish to Manhattan, like maybe an hour or so away, you know, give or take. So it's like, all right, I don't know what the next like steps are for us. I don't know if I've ever like said this publicly, but I love living in California. I just think that there are some other things, like, you know, when we got a small child that will be a responsibility in a month, I think there's some, you know, priorities change. And her family is in that area, in the New Jersey area. My family is not far away, like 6 hour drive from there in Canada. And it's like, it might be nice to be a little bit closer to family. But then it's the trade-off, right? It's the trade-off of, yes, we're closer to family. And yes, you can get a lot more house for your dollars, a lot more bang for your buck. But it's like, what about the weather? Man, what about that weather? I don't know. So the answer to your question is maybe. Maybe. This next one's from Rachel, who is most definitely not my wife. No, this is this is from Rachel, who is at RachLynn324 on Instagram if you want to give her a follow. That's right. At late RachLynn324. She says, this is such a good question. Wow. What advice would your 40-year-old self give to your 30-year-old self? I'm like, what am I now? 3 weeks away from my 40th birthday. Also 3 weeks away from the big goal. You know, I want to be in the best shape of my life by my 40th birthday. And we are definitely, we're dialing it in. We're dialing it in. All of the abs are back. And it's just a matter now of dialing this in even more. So big shout out to AJ Sims, my nutritionist, who I've been working with. We've been working real hard on this. He's at Cement Factory on Instagram. If you want to check him out, he's done the transformations for a lot of your favorite wrestlers, like Apollo Crews and Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, EC3, Rockstar Spud. So check him out, Cement Factory. So all of this is leading up to the 40th birthday. Best shape of my life. Going to be a father right around that time. May 21st is the due date. Whew, man, it's coming up. So excited. So excited. The advice that my 40-year-old self would give to my 30-year-old self is just have patience. I feel like, especially in my 20s and definitely when I was 30, was you want stuff to happen right now. And the advice I would give is have patience. And it's interesting that sometimes things don't work out the way you thought they were supposed to work out. And then you realize a year or two or five or 10 later and you go, oh, wow, huh, that happened to allow for this to happen now. So I would just say, be patient. And what's really interesting about that, and you know me, you know that I say vague goals get vague results, specific goals get specific results. But let's say your goal is you want 10,000 followers on Instagram. This is a very arbitrary example. And you're at 5,000. So you're like, oh my gosh, I want to double my followers. Huge. That'd be amazing. Once you get to like 9,600 followers, it now becomes inevitable that you're going to get to 10,000. And you're like, oh wow, 10,000 doesn't seem that exciting anymore. And you move the goalposts. And I find that really interesting that the goal you've set is, it's an achievable goal, 10,000, you know, in the next 12 months, whatever it happens to be, 10,000 next 6 months. And then you get close and you go, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. So the goal is no longer 10,000, it's 15,000 or 20,000. And I'm just saying that, like, patience, maybe set a bigger goal. Two words that Tyler Perry told me that I'll never forget was dream bigger. Stop setting such low goals for yourself. Dream bigger. Dream bigger and like shoot for something that's bigger than what you think could ever be possible. So that is the advice that I would give myself. And I love that we're wrapping this up with a question from my wife, who is so amazing. I love her and I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on this ride with me. It's been, we've almost been doing this for 4 years on the podcast. And of course, the YouTube channel's now been around for a little over 12 years, which is crazy. So the main Chris Van Vliet channel has 343,000 subscribers. I'm assuming you're one of them, so thank you. The CVV Clips channel is growing at a crazy rate of 1,000 followers and 1,000 new subscribers a day. And right now, as I record this, I think we've got, let's see, we've got all the world's information in front of us right now. So let's see, we've got 237,000 on the CVV Clips channel. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, there'll be more. I'm guessing there would be. But I just want to say thank you for being on this ride with me. And there's so much more that I want to do, and I've hinted at it in previous episodes, but I'm looking into doing something for everybody who's looking to build a podcast, build a YouTube channel, build a personal brand, looking to have some sort of a mastermind around that or some sort of a coaching around that, because I get hit up about it a lot and I want to help as many people as I can. I've also teased the idea of a book, and that's something I'm still definitely thinking about. Not a book about my life. I don't think anyone wants to hear that. It's really not that interesting. But a book about, like, what could you do? You know, I had that episode last year, and I said, what the F are you waiting for? And I got such a great response from that, because there are so many people that want to achieve great things in their life, and they're taking zero steps towards actually doing that. So what are you waiting for in your life? Think about that today as we head into the weekend, and man, we got some big interviews for you next week. I can't wait to bring them to you. So have a great weekend, my friends. Be great, be grateful, and we will see you on the next one for some more insight.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.